You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. My guest today is Ellen Schaefer. Ellen is an artist with a background in theater design and community arts development. She launched Persistent Sisters, which produces women history trading cards, in 2017. The mother of a 12-year-old daughter, Schaefer could not find many women-centered projects for middle-aged schoolgirls. Putting her project development and artistic skills together, she completed a successful Kickstarter campaign in November and produced the first series of trading cards, with three new sets on the way this spring. With a broad library of accomplished women spanning the fields of science, exploration, writing, mathematics, arts, and more, Schaefer hopes that Persistent Sisters trading cards will inspire all girls to find their passion and make it a reality. They can be what they can see.
Well, welcome, Ellen. I'm so glad to have you here today and to talk about your company, which I found online on Instagram, and you're doing some really amazing and fascinating work. So can we start with you telling me, you know, a little bit about your company and what led you on your current mission?
Sure. And thanks for having me today. I really enjoy what you do with your blog and your podcast. And as a mother of a 12-year-old daughter, lots of great information for
Thank
me.
You. Thank great. You.
So really my daughter, I guess, is a big part of the story of Persistent Sisters. She is currently in seventh grade. When I started this project, she was in sixth grade. And though it's not necessarily political in nature, it's certainly I started working on it just after the election, and I realized that in, the night of the election, we actually got in the car and drove a few hours to spend election night with, you know, some female friends, and she was expecting this kind of celebratory evening, and instead, you know, there were women in tears, and you know, she was like, this is really not what I expected at all. And it really made me think that, you know, I didn't want to leave her with the impression that this is the way it is for women. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. So let me back up. I wanted her to understand that women's, you know, fight for equality, for equal representation, for their place has been long. And it's taken grit and determination and persistence. And I felt like she needed to learn those stories and really know those stories so that what happened, you know, with the election in 2016, it became part of that story and not just a singular moment that left her feeling like she was as a girl, as a woman, of less value. And I knew that there were a lot of resources for younger girls because we had many of those. But in middle school, I was really feeling like I couldn't find as much women-centered material that was really appropriate or engaging for her. And that's why I started to work on this. So I am an illustrator. My background is in theater, community arts development. I'm not a women's history expert by any means. So I was kind of coming at it from that angle, like, you know, what would be engaging? So ironically, I have a 15-year-old son, and he is the other part of the story. He's a enthusiastic collector of sports cards. And I watched over the years You know, as he collected cards, mostly through social media, he was also making these friends all over the country, and so they would share and trade their card, you know, pictures of their cards online, and then actually mail and receive cards, you know, almost every day. So he kind of had this whole network of kids with the similar interest. And I just started to think, you know, maybe not only, you know, with some kind of a network like that, can girls learn their history, but also maybe start learning about each other and develop kind of a network where they can inspire and empower each other. Now, you know, this is my big dream, my big vision. It's going to take a little while to get there. In the meantime, I just started kind of working on these women's history trading cards. And a year ago, almost exactly, launched the first set of cards. And as really just kind of a, you know, just to sort of test it out, see what the response was. And people were really excited about it. I really felt like this was a kind of a product or project that people would, they were responding to. And a lot of people said, yes, we need this. So I kept going, and in November finished a Kickstarter after doing a pretty intense rebranding and kind of a redesign of the cards, which involved my daughter and some other 12-year-old girls. I mean, for me, it was like, I can guess what they might like, what they might like to look at, what, you know, but really I don't know. So I involved my daughter in the whole branding process. And of course, you know, that's empowering on a different mode, just learning about developing a business and taking an idea and, you know, putting it into production. So it was, I think, fun for her, continues to be involved in that process. And then of course there's the educational component as well. And the Kickstarter was successful. So now we have a series of 118 cards, and currently have three new sets of cards in production. And the first series kind of features women across all fields. And these three new sets are women in STEM, writers, and artists. Three new illustrators for those cards. So it's really, you know, just kind of growing leaps and bounds. And the numbers of women that we're, you know, presenting is growing as well. And you know, and it's tidbits. It's not, you know, the trading cards are designed to spark interest. You know, you get a little bit of bullet pointed biographies on the back of the card. So it's, you know, it's not super detailed, but enough that one, these names become part of you know, these girls' vocabulary in terms of, you know, if they're doing a class project or writing a paper, you know, all of a sudden, they're not learning about these women in school, and we can talk a little bit more about that. So the trading cards, you know, it's sort of like how they deal with social media. They're little, you know, snippets, beautifully illustrated, you know, with a design that I think is engaging, and you know, will kind of continue to grow and change. So that's Persistent Sisters in a nutshell.
Well, I love now what, you know, the story about the meaning behind the name of the company, because when I first heard of it, I was like, oh, Persistent Sisters. And I was like, I wonder what that means. And I think it ties so well with the story of the election and how for so many women and girls, they found that, you know, the way that things ended up being is that was the end. That was the end of this vision or this hope that we wanted. And it's not, it's just a great way of showing that in order for change to be made across anything, whether it's business or you're in academics or you're working with a sport, you have to have persistence. And it's something that you work at every single day. And it's not like this one big moment where, you know, all your dreams come true. You know, it's something that's constant. And I think that's really important for girls to understand that and see that, so that they know that even if something doesn't go the way they want it to, it doesn't mean the dream is over. Maybe we have to pivot and look at it from a different angle and see what happened. And I think, you know, as a result of the election, I've seen a lot of really amazing positive good come out of what's going on, right? So maybe that's what was supposed to happen. So we have things like the Me Too campaign that has come across, and we're really starting to push for women equality in so many other ways that might not have happened had the election results been different. And I think that's
right. And who knew, you know, I mean, we didn't know that. I didn't know that when I started this. And you know, of course there's, you know, there's been a lot of bad with the good, but, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, it's positive. You know, there's a lot of growth and growth opportunities. And, you know, what I think happens is that, girls can start to learn at a young age, you know, they're not seeing themselves in history, and they're not seeing themselves, you know, if you see pictures of a boardroom or, you know, politicians, they don't see themselves represented. And so what happens is I think the girls can start to value that, you know, feel that they don't have worth and that they don't have a place. And what I hope that sharing these stories, you know, both in this format and then a lot of, you know, the other great books and you know, any way that we can teach girls about women's history will show them that the inequality is not in themselves. It's not in women. It's not in girls. You know, girls are not inferior to men at all. That inequality is within the system. And, you know, for them to see those stories of grit and persistence and really what it has taken for women to fight back against this system, I think can, you know, it can be empowering and inspiring and, you know, certainly frustrating also, but also maybe open their eyes to really question what they see around them, you know, in their day-to-day experiences.
Yeah, and it's a great way of educating them on what they see out there. I'm in the process of completing a course on helping girls to process messages in the media. And part of that is what you see or what you learn, and we can talk about how this comes into women's history, is what people want you to see and what people want you to learn. Because they're someone has decided that they are going to be the ones that are going to say, this is what we want. So whether it's looking at a history text and seeing that the majority of what you learn inside of a, you know, American history text is very male based, mm-hmm. You know, there was a, and I can't think of off the top of my head, but you might know her, but there was a female that was like the female Paul Revere that rode, actually she rode past the church where I got married at. So I knew about that history because when I got married there, the church was built in the 1700s. Why was her story not told? And, you know, looking through your cards, there's all of these amazing women that all of a sudden girls start seeing that, saying, how come I've never heard of these women before? And it's not that women aren't doing amazing things. It's that their voices aren't being amplified, whether it's through news channels, whether it's through media, whether it's through publishers. And that's part of what we talk about when we talk about empowering women or equality for women. It's not that we're telling women you can't be scientists, you can't be amazing athletes. It's that we want the same recognition across all, you know, across all those different realms where it was even an eye opener to me. My minor in college was in women's studies, and it just happened to be because I took a women's literature course, and I really never liked literature, but I had to take it for one of those like general education requirements. And I fell in love with the course because it was all literature written by women. So I could relate to it so much more. And it became this obsession. I literally, I think, had a semester filled with just women's studies courses. And I was a health science major, so I was usually in the science realm. That was an eye-opener to me into learning how much has been censored almost in a way with women's history.
Right. Well, that's like, you know, the the joke, I guess, you know, when is Men's History Month? Well, it's the other 11 months of the year. And it's true, you know, and it's a shame that we have to have a month to really focus on women's history, you know, but until textbooks are rewritten, that's, you know, it's necessary to elevate these stories, you know. And the other part of it, I think, is and, you know, and we certainly saw this with Hillary Clinton's campaign, women, and you talked about, you know, images in the media, so many layers of expectation. You know, she had to be likable. She had to be nice. She had to be this, she had to be that, all the reasons that she was criticized. And, you know, I think that girls get that message too. You know, they don't, want to be bossy. They want to be pleasers. They want everybody to like them. And again, I think this goes back to these stories of women throughout history. You know, they weren't always liked or likable. They couldn't always please. You know, many of them had to go against their families or their husbands, their communities, in order to reach their highest potential as people. It's, you know, I guess the reason for teaching history to girls is to kind of get that perspective, you know, and again, so that they can, with that perspective, start looking at what's going on in our world today, you know, with a different lens. You know, I know with my daughter, and I try so hard to not just be this broken record, but, you know, I remember a few years ago, she was going to do a report about Albert Einstein, and Einstein is great, you know, but have you thought about Marie Curie? Or, you know, I kind of feel like we're constantly going through that thought exercise of, you know, why she gravitates towards certain ideas. And, you know, frequently it's because that's what we learn, and, you know, and that's what they internalize. So, you know, my hope, I guess, is that, you know, with this format that's not very heavy, you know, it can just kind of start that questioning.
Yeah, the questioning and just the recognition of being able to have this set of cards and all of a sudden say, oh, you know, who is this person and what did she do and where is she from? And, you know, historically, how many, you know, she lived 100 years ago and look at the amazing work that she was doing back then. And what did she face as a woman back then, you know? And it's interesting because one of my latest obsessions is on Netflix, when I actually have time to sit down, are the series The Crown or Victoria, which is on PBS. And I think what I love about it so much is seeing a strong, powerful, especially with Victoria, who was crowned at a very, very early age, to see her become a leader and to be ridiculed in so many ways, from expecting to have children all of the time and her not wanting that because she wanted to lead from a certain place, or watching the struggles between her and Parliament and the decisions that she wanted and how she thought. And for girls to see stories like that, you know, I myself, from a young age, was very ridiculed because I always thought in a certain manner. And it wasn't until very recently in my life that I realized that I was lucky that I had such, I don't know if it's a gift or intuition, that I was able to hold on to being okay with being an outcast, because the decisions that I felt were important, I was okay to stand up for others, even in the face of ridicule, even though I knew I wouldn't be part of the inner circle because maybe the choices they were making really didn't align with what I believed. And, you know, I've had conversations with my oldest, who's 9, about that, because I can see the tendencies in her, like myself, where she wants to be the people pleaser, because as women, society kind of dictates that to us. Plus, nobody likes to not have someone like them, right? but the labeling happens, right? So I was always labeled as bossy or bitchy or whatever you want to label it. I've been labeled that. Even as an adult, I'll have people say that to me and I just smile and nod and keep going. Because then that shows me that I'm doing something right, right? I'm okay with being polarizing. But with my Alexa, we've had to have conversations about, you know, sometimes in order to be a leader, in order to make changes, in order to do good things in the world, that means that you have to make some choices that other people aren't going to agree with. Right. And you have to stay very in tuned with what you believe in order to do that. And it's really, really hard and tough. And I think seeing those cards would be really amazing for girls to see, like, what's the history behind these women? What did they face?
And on the biographies, and just let me just quickly say, the other reason that I love the trading card format is that there's no first page and no last page. You know, we can continue to grow this collection. And so it doesn't require only featuring, you know, the most well-known women or the most accomplished women. And I, you know, I'm exploring different ways, you know, right now with focusing on women in history, you know, I have to get permission to put somebody on a trading card and to use their image. And, you know, so I'm kind of working on that, but it also, you know, it doesn't have to always be celebrity women.
Right.
And so yes, I think that kind of opens up the horizons even more, just for learning about women. And back to your point, you know, when we do the little bullet pointed biographies on the back of the cards, I try to point out, to, you know, pull those little snippets about, you know, maybe different ways, if they were first female first, or if there was a certain barrier that they had to get through in order to accomplish whatever their goal was. I kind of try to pull those out. And then we also have did you know cards, which are, you know, little histories, you know, stories that a longer story that we might pull out about one of the women that's featured in the set. And that, again, focuses on those kinds of barriers. Or, you know, we have a card about the history of swimming suits, you know, because girls probably don't realize that one of the reasons that women weren't able to achieve as athletes in, you know, as swimmers is because of what they had to wear. And so it kind of talks about the struggle and the developments with women's swimwear, and then how that related to accomplishments as athletes. You know, so again, it just starts that questioning, you know, let's not just assume that women weren't as great as swimmers as as men. You know, perhaps it's because they were trying to swim with 20 pounds of clothing on.
Right. That's not so easy, but I'm sure they were pretty strong swimming with those layers of clothes.
Right. They probably made them better.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, take all those layers off and then get into a regular swimsuit, then they'll really take off in the water. So how was the process with your daughter and her friends going, through this, from the business standpoint and from the designing standpoint? I love that you included her as part of this, for many reasons. One, to show her what it's like to be a woman leader and an entrepreneur and, you know, trying something. And then I'm sure you've had instances where it didn't kind of work the way you wanted to, and you had to pivot around and try it again. What was that whole experience like?
Well, she's very much, her name is Marie, and she is my go-to, you know, as is my son a little bit. He kind of advises on the whole trading card format, but, you know, but it's in terms of what things look like or what different kinds of products, like, for instance, we have with our next series of cards, you know, and this was all her idea, and I thought it was fantastic. We have three little notebooks. You know, so the cards are STEM, writers, and artists. We have three little pocket notebooks. One is lined for the writers, one is grid for STEM, and the other is blank for artists. And the notebooks kind of correspond with the design of the different cards. And, you know, so I kind of give her opportunity to think about, you know, other things that we can do outside of the trading cards. And she's really kind of my go-to when we develop and, you know, kind of as we design things, because again, now we have been careful. So I work with designers here in Springfield, Missouri, two women, Katie and Meg, with an agency called Departica. They are phenomenal and have just been so much fun to work with. And Meg is one of our illustrators for our new series of cards as well. And, you know, I probably have as many women buying the cards for women as I do for girls or daughters. So I didn't want the design of the cards to, we just avoided them being, I don't know, juvenile or girlish. I'm not sure what the right word is, but, you know, mm-hmm. so that they would still be attractive to women. But Marie certainly is, you know, she helps with that part of it. You know, she really can look at the designs and like, you know, my friends will think this is cool. And then of course she takes stuff with her to school and, you know, she can kind that way. And I have to say that for instance, she just wrote a paper, and is moving on to state for National History Day. So it's a, you know, a huge accomplishment for her. And it was about conflicts within the American suffrage movement. It's fantastic. So how does she know about that? Because of the trading card. So for me, you know, if, you know, of course she's my daughter, she's in my house, she's hearing about it all the time. But it's a great story. It's, you know, really, if you talk about being likable and, you know, it's a story about strategy and it was a great topic for her to learn about. But of course she's also having to, you know, really see the experience of these women and what they went through for decades, you know, in order for women to gain the right to vote. And certainly the trading cards don't tell, you know, they're not giving the full story, but enough information that she thought, oh, you know what, maybe I'm going to look more into this topic. So by watching that process, of course, that gives me hope that that can happen, you know, in other homes, outside of mine with, absolutely. You know, with this, you know, learning tool that's not a book. It's, you know, it's a pretty low, you know, I have people that will have kept them on their breakfast table and will read a few cards every morning or maybe in the car, you know, in the car. Somebody told me that there was some girls that had a slumber party and they each had like had an 8-pack of cards that they had to find with the scavenger hunt. And then they all opened their cards and had opportunity to trade with each other. And, you know, I think in that instance, Eliza Hamilton was a big hit. You know, people were trying to have them figure out what, well, you know, do you want so-and-so or so-and-so? So, you know, I'm hearing stories about how people are using and incorporating the cards. And I'm really still learning about that.
To find out more about Ellen and get your own set of cards, please visit PersistentSisters.com. To hear the rest of this interview as we continue the enlightening conversation, please join our community at RaisingAPowerfulGirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at RaisingAPowerfulGirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million-dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.